All right, Rabotai, so we're in Parashat Mishpatim. Now we start the laws. The story time is over. The narrative part of the Torah is temporarily on hold. Now we get into the nitty-gritty. Now we get into the laws. Ve'ela Mishpatim. As we said last night in the Shi'ur, there's 53 mitzvot in the Parashah. 53?
No.
53. Right. 42 of them are ben Adam l'chavero. So that's a lot of mitzvot that are man to man. The Hatam Sofer gives a name is when he says in the beginning of the parasha, Ve'ele HaMishpatim, Ve'ele is Gematria 42. So he's hinting, Ve'ele HaMishpatim. 42 of these are Mishpatim that apply Ben Adam L'Havero. So, as an introduction, there's a general principle that there are no extra words in the Torah, as we know, especially when it comes when the Torah gives us a number of something. When the Torah gives us a number, the Gemara will always say, hey, did you need to give us the number? We could have figured it out without giving us the number. As an example, on Yom Kippur, it says, V'lakach ha-kohen shene se'irim. He takes the two goats. So the Gemara says, hold it. Goats is how many? Two. The minimum of plurality is two. So what do you have to say? Two goats. Just say, V'lakach ha-se'irim. And then I know it's automatically two. What does it have to say? The word two. So the Gemara in Yoma, and 62 I think it is, explains a big chidush on this. That from here we learn that not only do you have to take two se'irim, but they have to be equal. They have to be identical. And since it says the word shne se'irim three times in the parasha, ve'amid et shne se'irim, etc., ve'lakach shne se'irim, so therefore, from there we learn that it has to be similar in three ways. In its height, in its look, in its price. You understand?
Okay.
Again, if it wouldn't have said, if it just would have said, ve'lakach se'irim, take two of them, they don't have to be similar. The fact that it says shne se'irim, that already teaches us that they have to be identical. You understand the extra word, what it does?
Yes.
Good, beautiful. That's a klal. It's a point klal to know that. Another example of that would be when the Torah says that you have to take, God tells Moshe, Lekach lecha shte hasosrot kesef. Two trumpets. Again, it says hasosrot. Hasosrot is plural. Why does Pasuk have to say again? Shte hasosrot. So the Gemara learns again that it has to be identical. In the silver, and the weight, etc., etc. That's a klal. Whenever you see the word shne, on something that you would have known the number without it saying shne, that gives us the hadush of similarity, of equality. Now, if you go back, of course, last week we had the Ten Commandments. Moshe Rabbeinu gives us the Ten Commandments from God. And what does it say after the Ten Commandments? Chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot, etc., etc. And the pasuk says, the pasuk's language is, or maybe it's in this week's parasha. No, this is Mishpatim.
The pasuk says, "Ushne luchot abanim biyadi." So it calls the luchot shne luchot.
What do you have to say, "Ushne luchot abanim"?
If it's luchot, it's automatically plural. What do you need the word shene?
So here, the Achamim learn a phenomenal lesson to teach us that both luchot are identical.
Meaning,
we know that the Torah was given on two luchot, and the right side was all the laws between man and God. On the left side was all the laws between man and his fellow. Which side is more important? Which service is more prominent? The service of Ben Adam Lamakom or Ben Adam Lachavero?
I don't know which one.
So the Torah says, Shne Luchot.
The fact that it says Shne next to the word Luchot, that comes and tells us both sides of the Luchot are equal. Therefore, there's no advantage of Ben Adam Lamakom over Ben Adam Lachavero, or Ben Adam Lachavero over Ben Adam Lamakom.
That means, as a Jew, one has to be equally careful in both sides of the Luchot.
You cannot come along and say, hey, listen, Ben Adam Lamakom, I put on my tefillin every day, I'm careful, I talit, I pray, I get the best lulav and all that, but I can't stand people. I'm not a people's person. I don't tell me after that, like, and all that. It's not for me. But look at these tefillin over here. These are the tefillin from the Baba Sali I got them from. It's not good. You're only doing half a... And then you have another guy that says, do me a favor, I'm not into rituals, all the details of all this stuff over here. No, I'm a good guy. Ask all my friends that tell me there's nobody like me. Achnasat Orim, you need me to lend you money, I'll lend you money. All that stuff between man to man, I'm not into that, all the rituals. It's also not good. The luchot are called shne luchot. Shne luchot comes to tell me Shnehem Shavim, that they're both equal. More than that, if you look at the way the Torah in this week's parasha spells the word luchot, luchat ketiv,
missing a vav.
We read it as two, luchot, but it's spelled as one, luchat ketiv. To teach us that the two luchot, it's one entity. You can't split the luchot. It's luchat ketiv. Judaism is this one entity. Pitemala hasain lo keshira. Not like the Ketoret that says pitemala hasain keshira. Pitemala hasain ena keshira. It's one item. And therefore, once you start compromising any side of the luchot, like if a rabbi would come and tell you the main thing is Ben Adam Lamakom, okay, Ben Adam Havirov, you try Musar, yeah, okay, if you can do it, it's good. It's wrong. He's kofir. You megale parim b'Torah shelo kahalacha. My Torah teach me the exact opposite, that the two sides of the luchot have equal value, and I brought an emes to this. What's the first word of the luchot? Anuchi. And what's the last word of the Luchot? Lere'echa. That's the two points of the Luchot. Anuchi and Lere'echa. Finish. Anuchi is the Ben Adam Lamakom, and Lere'echa is to your friend. That is the Luchot, the beginning and the end. And then everything in between, it's all the same. It means it starts with Anuchi and ends with Lere'echa, but that's the bookends of the Luchot. They come and teach you that these are the two principles of the Luchot. Ben Adam Lamakom, Anuchi, and Lere'echa. The first word and the last word of the speech. And you can't split them. I think I once heard, it might have been from Yechezkel Abramsky, that he said in the Pasuk in Tehilim, Hakol sag, Yahdav ne'elahu. En ose tov, en gam echad. So he explained it. Yahdav ne'elachu. The luchot are yahdav. It's one. So he said, En osetov, if you're not interested in osetov to your friend, En gam ehad. You don't have ehad either.
Whoa.
En osetov, En gam ehad. They go together. If a guy is not ben adam lechavero, forget about en gam ehad either. That's compromise also. So you can't do half of the chot. Go back to Parashat Hayesara, when Eliezer meets Rivka at the well. So what does he do right away? Eliezer was the servant of Aharon. Yeah, he came with Sweni. He came with all the jewelry. Whereas when Yaakov Abinu came, he didn't have anything. That got stolen from Eliphaz. Yaakov Abinu got mugged on the way down. But Eliezer came down with all the goods. So what does it say that he put on her hands? So it says that he put, first of all, he put a nose ring. And the Pasuk says, what was the weight of the nose ring? Beka mishkalo. The weight of the nose ring was a beka. And they say, why beka? Remez to the mahasita shekel, which the weight of the mahasita shekel is also beka. Mm-hmm. And then ushnet simidin. Al yadeha, two bangles. We call them bangles, no? Tzimidim. And what are the two tzimidim, Rashi says? He was hinting to her that you are now joining the nation that's going to get the shtei luchot. Now, why? Huh? Why did Eliezer give a remez to the luchot in Simidim? Mm-hmm. Because what does the word Samud mean in Hebrew? Mm-hmm. Samud means
next to each other.
So he took Shnet Simidim, two bangles that were next to each other, Al Yadeh, to say that the Torah that you're about to get, when Har Sinai, it's Samud. The two parts are linked together. To be a Jew, you need to have Ben Adam LaMakom and Ben Adam LaHavero. I saw an unbelievable explanation in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, this week is also Parashat Shekalim, but I have to say something for the Shekalim. So it says, why do you take Mahazita Shekel? Why don't you take a full Shekel? I mean, I guess a guy that can afford half a shekel can probably afford a whole shekel also. You know, instead of giving 50 cents, you give a dollar. I mean, it's not a big number over here. What's ma'azit ha-shekel? So Yerushalmi says, because the Jewish people transgressed the Ten Commandments, Yerushalmi says. Since they transgressed the Ten Commandments, in kapara, what is the weight of a shekel? Esrim gera ha-shekel. A shekel is esrim gera. So mahasit ha-shekel is how much?
Ten.
So if the Jews that transgressed the Ten Commandments at the time that they worshipped the Egel HaZahav, therefore as a kapara, bring a coin that measures ten. Asara, can I get asara? And the question is obvious. With all due respect, they didn't transgress the Ten Commandments at the time of the Egel. They transgressed Anochi and Noyeh. My explanation is, it's all one. Once already you transgress part of the Luchot, it's all connected. You cannot step back and say, oh, listen, at least it, no. It only succeeds when it's a whole. It only has its power when it's whole. So when they broke Anochi and Lo Yeh, what else? You broke the Luchot. I mean, it's all or nothing in this over here. You can't split the Luchot in half. And therefore, Bnei Adam says you have to bring a coin of ten because you broke the ten. You broke the ten. You broke the tzimidut of the Luchot. There's Maybe it's Avot Rabbi Natan, one of those Mishnayot over there, that says some interesting statement. It says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went down to give the Torah, and he saw the Jewish people worshipping the Egel. So it says the Zekinim, the elders, they saw Moshe Rabbeinu was about to throw the Luchot, so they tried to stop him. They tried to stop him, and wow. Moshe Rabbeinu overpowered them, and he broke them.
Wow.
Amazing the Midrash. They saw he's going to break the law. Moshe, don't break the law. And then he did it, and God tells the Moshe, Yashikoyach, Yishalku Akash Shibarta. So I saw an interpretation to this. What was the machloket between the Zekinim and Moshe? The Zekinim held, don't break. And Moshe Rabbeinu obviously held, ear break. What was the pshat? Moshe Rabbeinu came down and saw the Ekev. He wanted to break both Luchot. So the Zekinim said, oh, why are you breaking both? They only transgressed the right side of the Luchot. So break one of the Luchot. Break the Ben Adam LaMakom. They didn't break the Ben Adam LaChavero. Moshe Rabbeinu says that you don't understand how these Luchot work. If there's no Ben Adam LaMakom, there's no Ben Adam LaChavero. Both these things work together. Therefore, by breaking this, they broke everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Yishar Kuchacha Sheshibarta. Azach HaBaruch. You did the right thing. Now, that's a very important lesson. That means you cannot pick, you know, which side you think is bad. Because once you start picking a side, you broke the whole transmission of the Luchot. It comes as a package. Whatever Lam gave this as a package of 10. And once you start compromising either side, and you give an advantage to either side, already the Luchot do not have its value anymore. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you break both. That's the depth of that Hazal. In this week's parasha, also an amazing remez to this concept. We don't pay attention to much, but at the end of the parasha, something happens. After all the laws, we're back to the stories. So, what does it say? It says that after the Matan Torah, what happens? It says the Pasuk writes, Vel Moshe Amar, chapter Chav Gimal, Chav Dalet. Bring everybody here. Ata, Aharon, Nadav, Avihu, the 70 elders. Vayavo Moshe, Vayisapel Lam et kol divrei Hashem. He tells them everything God told them. Vayaan kol ha'am, kol echad. The people, when they hear the law, Vayomeru kol ha'debarim, asher diber Hashem, na'aseh, v'nishma. No, that's a mistake. It doesn't say na'aseh v'nishma. Kol asher diber Hashem, na'aseh. They didn't say na'aseh v'nishma. Everybody's na'aseh v'nishma. They didn't say na'aseh v'nishma. Originally they said na'aseh. Okay. Vayichtov Moshe et kol divrei Hashem, eshki baboker, vayibin mizbeach. He builds a mizbeach to God. Tachat ahar, under the mountain. Vayalu olot, vayizbeo shelamim. They start bringing all sorts of sacrifices. Vayikach Moshe, now all of a sudden Moshe Rabbeinu does something incredible. Vayikach Moshe chatzi adam, vayasem ba'aganot. He takes aganot. Aganot are like jugs. He takes the blood of the korban and he splits the blood of the korbanot into two aganot. That she says, shte aganot, echad lachatzi dam ola, v'echad lachatzi dam shelamim. And the pasuk says, v'yikach moshe chatzi adam. Now, chatzi adam, is that literally chatzi adam? How could you be mitzamtzem? How do we know that in the two jugs, maybe in one jug there was two more drops than the other? What was it? Kavel, it had the line and the thing, so you know exactly where to fill it up to. And even in that, Kavel, every milkshake has the same shi'ur. Unless you're saying you had one of those CC items, you know, the droppers, and he measured it exactly. What does the pasuk say? Hatsi. I mean hatsi. I can make exactly hatsi. You say roughly. You mean roughly. That doesn't mean hatsi. You mean to the eye it looked like it was half. I said, we don't know it's half. But if the Torah says hatsi, that means if you measure the blood in both aganot, it's to the milliliter. How could you do that? But nobody has the ability to do that. How could you take blood and you go like this, boom, boom, half, perfect, in one shot. Impossible. Understand my question? Mm-hmm. By the way, it's not my question, it's she's question. That she says, Vayikav Moshe Atzi Adam, mi haliko? Who did this? Malach ba v'haliko. Malach had to come and do it. There's no way to do this. Hashem sent the Malach down to go do this to this item. So Rav Hutna Alav Shalom, he says, well, what's going on over here? Ad kedekach, you need a special miracle that Hashem has to send down a malach? What's the big deal? What is this? We didn't even know most people didn't even know this happened. Now you're learning that this was like a super duper miracle where you needed an angel to come and intervene to make sure that this doesn't get messed up. What's the splitting of the blood in Aganot? So Rav Hutna Alav Shalom said that whenever you're making brit, covenant, so how do you make a covenant with somebody? You take half, and I take half. You split. Remember the first covenant called brit bin abitarim? Mm-hmm. What did God tell Avraham to do? Take the animals, split them in half, put one on one side, one on the other side, and walk through the betarim. Betarim means the pieces. That's how covenant works. So Bari Olam says, listen, this is a Torah over here. You want to come into the covenant with me? So half of the blood goes on the Mizbeah. That's God's half. Another half stays by Moshe, sprinkles on the people. So he said, that's the inyan of the splitting of the blood. That's how you nichnas lebrit. So he asks, no problem. But what's the inyan that has to be 50-50? Split it. But when they split the animals, Abraham was careful, got to be 50-50, cut it. The point is, you break it in half. You got half, you got half. And he gets a little more, gets a little less. So Rav Hutna said, now that we're coming into the brit of the Luchot, and God wanted to make sure that nobody should think that one side of the Luchot is better than the other side. So it's got to be 50-50 exactly, and going to send down a malach, that nobody should think for a minute that one side even has one more cc than the other side, because the ben adam lemakom and the ben adam lechavero is exactly equal. That's how you have to accept the covenant. And if somebody accepts the covenant that it's 75% to 25%, we have no deal. The deal that we accepted with God is both sides have equal power. You cannot be medakdek on ben adam lemakom and mezalzel on ben adam lechavero, or vice versa. Wow. It's like the story that was told by one of the Rosh Yeshivas. They went to him and they said, you know, what do you say about all those religious Jews that cheated business? So he says, it's like those religious Jews that eat on Yom Kippur. So the guy says, religious Jews eat on Kippur? If a guy eats on Yom Kippur, he's not religious. He says, neither are those guys. You know, we don't think like that. We say, you can't be religious if you eat on Kippur. But if you cheat in business, he's religious. He just cheats. No. Religion is both sides of the Luchot. You can't split it. So you have Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Guy comes into the synagogue, you know, and he shakes, and then he goes out and he's a different animal. And vice versa. You have a guy that doesn't come to shul and he's very nice in the marketplace. You say, oh, this guy, what a reputation. His reputation, gold. What about his reputation with God? Hey, listen, you know, he doesn't do that. Okay, so they're both guilty. Meaning, they're both lacking. That's the point. They're both lacking. So I made a point. I made a point like this. The Ben Adam Havero stuff, that's the part of the Torah that you understand. That's a understanding, at least. We can understand don't kill. I can understand don't steal. I understand, you know, if I'm a shomer and I am negligent, I have responsibilities towards it. All the man-to-man laws have understanding. Whereas a lot of the man-to-God laws, we don't understand it. So far, so good. In Hebrew, the word Shema means what? Don't tell me, listen. Understand. Hear. Hear means understand. It means when I say, Beno, you hear me?
Yeah.
Hear me means not you hear me. It means you understand me.
Correct.
Shema. Shema Israel. Understand Israel. So now Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and gives the Torah to the Jewish people. Right away, they made a mistake. They said, well, for sure, the laws to God are the main items. So their first reaction when they hear the Torah, they say, "Kol ha-debarim asher diber Hashem na'aseh." They couldn't say nishma because there is no nishma on those laws. So they said, "Ben adam le-makom na'aseh." We'll do it even though we don't understand it. God says they don't understand what the covenant is here. Go take the blood. Go split it in half, 50-50, and now go make the covenant and tell them that they have to accept the man-to-man just as much. So look what amazing pasuk, right after the covenant is done, v'yikach sefer ha-berit, v'yomeru kol asher diber Hashem, na'aseh v'nishma. Now they add that not only will do the na'asehs, but we'll do the nishmas, the ones we understand as well. Now you're part of the covenant. But just to say na'aseh, you're accepting half a law. You must accept both sides of the law. The na'aseh side and the nishma side. The part that you do because you do, because you don't understand why you're doing it, and the part of nishma. So that's a big yesod, a big theme that you see runs through the entire parasha. With that, we explained, based on a Sha'ale Ora, a famous Gemara in Baba Metzia, page 59b. Remember the Gemara over there says that there was a mahloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the rabbis regarding a certain oven, the status of a certain oven. Rabbi Eliezer claimed that the oven is tahor, and therefore everything that was, you know, cooked on that oven is pure. And the rabbi said the oven is impure, and anything that was cooked on that oven is tameh. Argument amongst the rabbis, nothing new. That day, although it was a serious argument, if you remember, Rabbi Eliezer wanted to prove that he was right. So Rabbi Eliezer said, you know, if I'm right, he says, Haruv ze yuchiyah, let the carob tree in front of the yeshiva, let it show that all of a sudden the carob tree uprooted itself like a rocket missile and started to fly across the sky. So he says, you see, I'm right, the carob tree. So I told him, listen, we don't bring a proof from carob trees. That doesn't... He says, if I'm right, I'm at the mayim yuchiyah. I let the water outside the yeshiva, it started to go backstream. Went against the current. See, I'm right? No da'ayah from that. Let the walls of the yeshiva... All of a sudden, the walls of the yeshiva started to cave in. And all these tricks didn't work. They didn't impress the rabbi. Finally, he said to the rabotai, if I might let God come along and announce who's right. And all of a sudden the voice comes out of heaven and says, what do you want from my son Eliezer? Leave him alone. Halacha kemoto. And the rabbis don't move. They say, lo bashamayim. And it says the Bili Ezer wouldn't give in.
They do it.
And they had to, you know, they had to excommunicate. And he was stubborn. He didn't want to give in. And the question is, hold it. The Bili Ezer, did you not read the Parashat HaShavua that says Ahare Rabim Lahatot? You have to follow the majority. Listen, you're allowed to argue. You're allowed to try to influence the majority to change their opinion. At the end of the day, the Hakamim said, we hold what we hold. You hold what you hold. You have to concede. They're finished. This is going to prove it. That's going to prove it. Shammai is going to... We're not changing our mind. Yahid v'rabim, alakak v'rabim. Have a good day. But he wouldn't accept it. They tell Rabbi Eliezer, Katub baturah, Hare Rabbi Blatot. What? Rabbi Eliezer didn't know Hare Rabbi Blatot. They had to tell him, hey, Rabbi Eliezer, you forgot the majority rules law. So he says amazing hadush here. He says, what happened on that day? The rabbis argued on Rabbi Eliezer. And they took all the food that he claimed, according to his opinion, was tahor, and it says they burnt it in front of him. Shows you think this is kosher food? They took the food, boom, they burnt it. The Gemara says, "Oto ayom heviu kol taharot shetihel Rabbi Eliezer v'sarfum va'esh." So the Yerushalmi asks this question. The Yerushalmi says, in Moed Katan, Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, Velet Rabbi Eliezer Ahare Rabim Latot? He doesn't know. That's Yerushalmi's question. What happened to him? He doesn't know the law. Yerushalmi gives an amazing answer. Lo hekpid, Ela al yedei shesarfu taharotav befanav. He didn't care about the majority. You know why he didn't care about the majority? He says, where's your derech eretz? You want to argue with me, you could argue with me. But to take the food that I said was tahor, and in front of me to burn it, just to zing me, you're lacking derech eretz. And if you lack derech eretz, your majority is not a majority. I'm not bound to this majority. Means the Bili Ezer held with the law of taharot has to come ben adam lachavero. What was that? You want to argue from here to tomorrow that the food is tahor? That's your right, but to burn it in front of the guy's face, that's already you're sticking it to him. Once you stick it to the guy, that shows you're not l'shem shamayim anymore. That was he held. Therefore he said, once you're doing that, I don't count that majority. Like that majority now is batel mutan. That's not my pshat. That Korban Ha'edah writes. That's Korban Ha'edah in Yerushalmi. Kevan shesarfu taharotav befanav, hashav Rabbi Eliezer shema'aseim shelo l'shem shamayim nak l'achriso. They're doing it just to anger him. Shayalem lachush lichbodo. He should have had kavod to Rabbi Eliezer. V'lesurfam shelo befanav. You want to burn it, burn it. But when the business goes home, you burn it. Lachen lo hashash leminyan harabesh shelahem. Bili Ezer was not hashash to the minyan. That means, in Bili Ezer's understanding, to be considered a minyan, you have to also be considered a mensch. And if there's a hasaron in the mensch, then there's hasaron in the minyan. Both sides of the law have to go together. So if you're arguing a point in the yeshiva, you have every right to argue. But once all of a sudden you get personal, you lose your status. Would you lose your status? Well, that's yafet talmud Torah im derech eretz. Talmud Torah is only good when it's combined with derech eretz. And that Yerushalmi is teaching us a big lesson. And, you know, sometimes in the quest of serving God and reaching the truth, but it's at the compromise of Ben Adam the Havero. To reach the truth of God, you know, we have to step on somebody and we have to embarrass him and cause him a tza'ar. And the Bili Ezer's understanding, already you disqualify.
That disqualifies the even the law of Rav. To be a Rav, it has to be a Rav that has both sides of the Luchot. But if you only have half of the Luchot, so therefore that Rav is already copper. So the Bilyan said, I don't have to bow to such a Rav. Give me a Rav that is Torahim Derech Eretz. So that's already a proof to what we're saying here today. God said, this is so important to me that I'm going to send an angel down. Somebody wants to do an experiment, you'll see it's 50-50 in the Aganot. When the Jewish people saw that, they said, we retract what we said originally, Na'aseh. Now it has to be Na'aseh and Nishma. It's equal. The Na'aseh side and the Nishma side. There's no separation. It's Shnei Luchot Ratzimudot, Luchat Ketiv. It's one Luach. And that's exactly the method, the methodology of the Luchot. It's a Luchot of basically two words. Anuchi and Lir'echa. Finish. Ve'idach zil gemur.